If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
1, 2, 3.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical engineer Frank and I got a great show. We're going to be talking about the growing plastic surgery sector. Oh, yeah. It is ramping up. So we're going to talk about that. And also, we're going to see if we can talk about how we can prevent age-related falls and maybe, you know, why so many of us are brainwashed to go get prescriptions. We got that and a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, a big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. You know, I'm hitting the knee seeking Lord's face. Hope you are too. And today we're going to be in Proverbs for our devotional, and we are in chapter 3 in verse 5, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He be not wise, and rely on your own understanding, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil." That's right. Seek the Lord's face. He will direct your path. That is the way. and you know, spend some time. It's a relationship building thing when you're in Scripture and when you pray, and you pray back the words you are reading in Scripture. God knows you're paying attention, and His words, His promises never come back void. So, strengthen that relationship. You'll never ever regret spending the time in doing that. And mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Frank, I didn't hear quacker, sweetheart. I don't know, he's got a new board. Did they go out? They did? Okay. All right. He's got a new board. Sometimes I don't hear the sound bites. All right. So, well, first up in the quacker, new technologies, get this, could make it possible for them to track your emotions and your health just by scanning your body. That's right. So companies are mining a lot of data from social media, Facebook, your smartphone. They even, you know, track your internet connections to find out what you think and what you feel and what you like. So they read your emotions and your health, and this is emerging. These new technologies are emerging. They can read these signs. So a conference in Vancouver, Canada, Dolby Laboratories demonstrated what they're talking about. They had volunteers. They directed them to watch a scary movie clip. And then afterwards, they presented their visualization that showed that when they watched this thing, their carbon dioxide, CO2 levels that they were emitting jumped. So while the audience was gasping in horror and also in suspense, the carbon dioxide marked their shock and suspense. It was elevated in a red cloud for them to see. And, you know, private data gathering technology is becoming more advanced, more sophisticated, enough to be able to find your true feelings and thoughts, that even what you think of other people. So trying to read body language, you know, technologies, that's what they're doing. All right, last but not least in the quack report, scientists are mapping codes for about 3,000 dangerous bacteria. Scientists are seeking new ways to fight the drug-resistant superbugs. So they're mapping these genomes on about 3,000 bacteria. And some of the bacteria samples, they took one sample from Alexander Fleming's nose. He's the British scientist that created the first antibiotic, penicillin. Another bacteria was a dysentery. It was a strain of dysentery they took from a World War I soldier. So they're mapping the DNA of these deadly strains, these plagues, if you will. And cholera, dysentery are all being decoded. So they're trying to understand the bacteria, how it works, so they can make more drugs, antibiotics to fight them. So right now, Britain's National Collection of Type of Cultures has over 5,000 superbugs in there, largest collection of clinically relevant bacteria in the world. The first deposited bacteria was back in 1915 when they isolated a strain of dysentery called Shigella flexneri, and they took it from a World War I soldier. So according to the researchers, knowing very accurately what bacteria looked like before the introduction of antibiotics and they mutated is very important in understanding how they operate and also generating new treatments, according to Julian Parkhill, Britain's institute. Welcome Sanger Institute. So scientists estimate about 70% of your bacteria now are already resistant to at least one antibiotic. And one of the biggest threats facing medicine is the superbugs. Now, among the most serious risks right now are drug-resistant tuberculosis, which has infected about over 10 million people last year, and 1.7 died. Gonorrhea, which is the sexually transmitted disease, infects about 78 million people a year. And according to the WHO, it is becoming almost untreatable. So more bugs being dissected, coded, and new drugs. You know, where's that going to put us? Really, where's that going to put us? And Frank's weighing in on my quacker saying maybe weaponizing all the bacterias. Yeah, exactly. And basically that's what superbugs are. And so we're going to get more of that down the road. You can count on it. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Yep, Frank likes garlic. I know, it's very broad spectrum for any bacterias, virals, fungus, yeast. Garlic is a poor man's antibiotic. Don't ever forget that. He lives by it. I can attest to that. All right, we're going to be talking about the growing plastic surgery sector. And hang with me through this segment because it's just kind of out there. What's going on? Now, some people, well, they could care less about plastic surgery, and some are obsessed about it. Now, Hollywood, full of, you know, the celebrities, they have forever changed their appearance. They go under the knife all the time. Now, according to reports, the plastic surgery area is becoming a favorite with the millennials. Now, these are the people, you know, in their late teens to early 30s, that age group. So we are aware that, you know, selfie love is rampant with this young generation and these endless selfies and devices that help them promote it. So if you ask young adults, you're going to hear that they are all about experiences, and their hopes and their dreams and their goals are quite different from their parents or even the adults a decade older than them. So I know there are exceptions. However, this is a culture, and they are proud of it. So we're going to take a look at what insiders within the plastic surgery profession are noticing. All right, so these young techies, there has been, you know, a change, which has, you know, gotten the attention of a lot of plastic surgery centers across the United States. More millennials than Generation Xers are looking to beef up their self-esteem through surgical enhancements. And celebrities with their buttocks, tucks, breast enhancement, lift, and enhancements, you know, all over the media, they share that stuff. However, the millennials are really looking to marry the physical body with technology in a way never seen before. So the beautiful people have their social media pages examined by potential employers, and they will have the edge according to their mindset. Here is a quote from Dr. Gilbert Lee. He is with Changes Plastic Surgery and Spa. He says, over the past few years, I've definitely noticed an uptick in millennials seeking our services. I believe this trend will steadily increase as millennials age and their salaries go up. And then Dr. Jonathan Kaplan with Pacific Heights Plastic Surgery says, plastic surgery is not taboo with the millennials as with prior generations. They actually promote their procedures on social media. And then Dr. Ben Hoots-Torkin, he's with Lasky Clinic, he says, I would say there has been a 30% increase in millennial patients over the last decade. And as social media becomes more important within the business sector, millennials want to look their best to get the best job. Millennials use filters on their selfies, and then they come in to me asking me to make them look as good as their selfies. Usually the changes are subtle, and in most cases, Botox injections accomplish this. End of quote. Botox. Oh my goodness. Botulism Botox. Well, you know, what they're shooting for is the Best Selfie Award. That's basically what we're looking at. And while millennials are always documenting their lives and perfecting their selfies, the cosmetic procedures are required to deliver this Best Selfie Award. So plastic surgeons report that the obsessions for perfect selfies must fulfill the requirement for, you know, better than real life appearance. And this is, you know, a steep curve for the plastic surgeons to accomplish. So after all, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, or as in this case, the smartphone. So this generation will risk botulism infection with Botox injections for the Best Selfie Award. And millennials are using plastic surgery as an early prevention to aging. But this is just going to get you so far, because nutrition is what the body uses to look youthful as long as possible. Here's a quote from Dr. John Tutula. He's with Tutula Plastic Surgery in New York and New Jersey. He says, in my practice, I've seen a 30% increase in millennials in the last 2 years. I think the social media and the selfie culture is driving it. Patients are dictating the augment procedures by how they want to look in pictures, end of quote. Well, that's kind of more than what the Hollywood types are demanding, isn't it? The selfies. All right. Well, here is a quote from another plastic surgeon. This is Dr. Jacob Stanger with Facial Plastic Surgery. He says, the selfie culture craze of facial close-ups is driving millennials to ask about facial restructure more than in the past. We've noticed this uptick in requests for rhinoplasty, which would be your nose jobs, breast enhancement, facial fillers, and other injectable procedures. Females, he says, are focused on their mouth, and it's gotten the nickname millennial pout, end of quote. Millennial pout. Mm. And, of course, American Society for Plastic and Reconstructive Surgeon says this, 10% of all the plastic surgery is now performed on men. So it's not just females rolling in there, and the guys are kind of going with it, too. So, that, you know, what about this forever young thing? I mean, you know, what is this 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 26-year-olds wanting to look for? I mean, people never even thought of aging at that age, usually. They waited until, you know, they had kids and they're starting to slow down a bit, and then they're starting to think about looking younger. But no, it's starting before they're even out of high school, practically. So what many have learned by watching celebrities that are getting a lot of these plastic surgeries is that as they age, they don't look normal. So pouty lips and plump faces tend to be youthful characteristics. And we live in a time where people have decided they do not want to age gracefully. So facelifts, they leave scars in the hairline. That's where the suture marks are. And as the person ages, the hairline recedes, and then the scars become visible. So millennials are starting much younger with the plastic surgery. They are requesting wrinkle prevention before they get wrinkles. And the skin's elasticity is affected when you have evasive procedures like this. So there's just so much fillers and wrinkle treatments that can be done to your skin before it starts to break down. Now, what will this generation look like, you know, in their 50s? Oh, well, man, that's anybody's guess. So imagine 25-year-olds getting eye plastic surgery to remove the skin folds, the dark pigments of skin beneath the eye. Plastic surgeons are calling this tear trout procedure. And I'm like, you know, Judge Judy had that done. And she always looks surprised. You ever see her face, you know, because, Sorry, Judge. All right, moving along. This is a quote for Dr. Jean Paul, Ozzy Facial Plastic Surgery. He says, I have noticed an increase in the number of younger patients from their teens to their 30s. A popular procedure is this upper lip lift that shortens the distance between the top of the lip and the bottom of the nose, creating a look that we call Cupid's bow. Oh, how nice. You know, there's got to be these inside jokes from these guys, for sure, right? And Dr. John Mendelson, Advanced Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center, says millennials are seeking cosmetic procedures more than older generations. They are early adopters, and they gravitate to innovative technologies, and they've embraced the trend of preventing the signs of visible aging, end of quote. But you can't prevent aging. It's inevitable. So it would appear that plastic surgery is being rebranded by the millennial generation as a type of fashion culture. And as the comedian Larry Gilbert says about using plastic surgery to look younger, he says, quote, they don't look younger. They look surprised. End of quote. Well, they do. You know, Dolly Parton, have you seen her lately? Frank, have you seen her? Her lips are so wide. I mean, Well, and then there's the junkie risk, okay, when you deal with plastic surgery. According to some plastic surgeons, They have seen too many become addicted to plastic surgery. Patients that become cosmetic surgery junkies have a perception problem. And many ethical surgeons will refuse to do the surgery, and instead they refer them to psychologists. But most will just simply doctor shop instead. All right, now here we're getting into the dark side of plastic surgery, so buckle up. As with most things, there's another side, and plastic surgery is not, you know, exempt. More than a million Americans undergo plastic surgery each year, and they are they fully informed? You think they are, Frank? You think they're fully informed about plastic surgery? Most patients don't think twice of what could go wrong with the eyebrow lift, the nose job, the eyelid tuck, the breast implants, the tummy tuck, the liposuction, the silicone injections, or the Botox. So body sculpting is highly sought after, and few investigate the dark side. You got to look at the pros and cons to everything. So when it comes to being fully informed about a procedure, you've got to dig. It involves knowing what questions to ask, because physicians are ethically bound to answer your questions. They are. They're ethically, they have to. When working in the medical establishment, like I have for a number of years, I learned that information is really not volunteered to patients. You have to ask. So your questions need to be specific, and they need to be targeted to understand your pitfalls. So let's give you some examples. Now, facelifts will create scars that tend to be hidden within the hairline. Scar tissue makes it harder for hair to grow, and then the hairline recedes, revealing your scars later. So it may take years for this to occur, but then patients are not going to get that information voluntarily up front, and they got to go in and have another procedure, or they got to go have hair implants to hide the scars. Another example is the silicone injections, often used to help resculpture the face. For instance, somebody may want to create higher cheekbones or improve their jawline or chin. So patients are not informed that later on this silicone can move and can distort the face, offering quite a grotesque look. And people begin to look freakish and even monster-like. So when this happens, the plastic surgeon may not return your calls. And then if you go to other physicians, they may not be familiar in the difficult way to remove this silicone, very difficult to remove it. So the complications of your silicone injections in your face, your breast area, or anywhere, patients don't hear about these. And here's the things you need to worry about. Silicone can migrate. It's called migitation. It can move, okay? Also, tissue petrification. In other words, the silicone bonds to the tissue and becomes rock hard. And then skin ulcerations can occur, as well as gangrene. And facial procedures when they go wrong, they offer a more apparent, visible problem. And then breast operations offer a greater risk and are really at the top of the plastic surgeon's trouble list, is the silicone implant thing. So a common problem with the breast implants, no matter where you put them, in front or behind the chest wall muscle, the breast becomes hard due to the scar tissue that will form around the implant, and then it contracts. So this complication is called capsule contracture, and patients are often not informed about this risk. And physicians who do say they do inform patients often report that the women have made up their minds to have the procedure and they stop listening. Well, that could be true, right? Now, Dr. Frank Kamer, plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills, now he did a lot of work on Joan Rivers and some others, right? He said people can die from any surgery. Death is the ultimate complication. End of quote. Absolutely. When I worked in intensive care at Carolina Medical, a woman died from having, silicone breast implants. She didn't even make it out of intensive care. Now, this is a quote from Dr. Ernest Kaplan, Stanford PA, and Dr. Harry Zerum, UCLA, and Dr. Fred Grazer, Newport Beach, California, they say this. Once the silicone becomes rock hard, it's impossible to separate it from surrounding tissues such as your face. Steroid injections are often used in an attempt to reduce massive inflammation and reduce the distortion. If the breasts are involved, a mastectomy is performed. Now, let me tell you something. Let me say, if you went in, you were interested in maybe, you know, having a little lift or breast thing going on, and they talk about implants. If they told you that the silicone implants could do that, would you have the procedure? You probably wouldn't. You'd probably go for the door. Or you'd think about it more before you decided, right? Now, Dr. Paul Tilton, he's with the FDA's Device and Radiological Health Division. He says this, it is my belief that many women across the country are clearly not being adequately prepared for the dangers and complications of plastic surgery. Breast implants are prone to failure and do not last a lifetime. Plastic surgeons fail to impress upon their patients that they will be subject to repeat surgeries. Silicone breast implants often bleed into the body, and they have there have been no follow-up studies with these implants since the first use of them on the market in 1964. Animal studies showed that silicone bleeds out and the implant of the implant and is lodged in your other organs. Few patients were told the FDA had never approved silicone implants, breast implants, for use and had not prohibited them either until 2006. What? Yeah. Now, you were probably saying that can't happen. Well, it did. Now, here is Brian Kunst. He's with the FDA Division of Product Surveillance. He says this, the FDA monitors general plastic surgery devices, and the failure rate on breast implants is one of the highest. In 1992, new regulations on breast implants made them a Class 3 device, and manufacturers were required to submit data to the safety board and submit pre-market approval applications. However, these devices were allowed to remain on the market. Well, they'll let them stay on the market, but, man, they won't let herb supplements stay on there while you're going through the approval process. Isn't that nice? Well, you know, in 1999, the Institute of Medicine published some research on silicone breast implants, and it was titled Safety of the Silicone Breast. The report downplayed any risk of serious systemic infections like cancer and autoimmune disease, but instead focused on the local complications of pain, rupture, capsular constricture, disfigurement, infection, and repeat surgeries. So the FDA approved the silicone breast implants in 2006 after a 3 or 4 year follow-up on patients. So despite the report, which cited frequent complications and adverse outcomes, they approved them with the caveat that, you know, you people out there, informed patients, should know about the benefits and risks, and then you should make decisions about the use. So they put it back on you. Taking a break. Be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death.
New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk, and we're talking about this plastic surgery sector just exploding with all the millennials, you know, rolling on into the plastic surgeon's office. Now, the FDA did stipulate the manufacturers of those silicone breast implants that conditions of approval for the use required them to perform 6 post-approval studies establishing these long-term performances and safety of the device. Now, long-term within medicine is usually about 12 months, so they needed to do 12-month follow-ups on patients. Now, as of 2011, the FDA reported the studies had not been completed or done. So from 2006 to 2011, they're still awaiting. All right? Now, let's touch base real quick on the liposuction. Lipo is what they call it. Liposuction was introduced in 1982. And it originated in France, and it offers its own surprises to the patients. Now, removing fat this way is very sudden and actually traumatizing to your body. Therefore, the body begins to store more fat in other areas not commonly known to store fat, such as your neck and your arms. So your waist may look thin and your thighs may look thin, but then your neck looks like, you know, a football player. So patients eventually just grow weary of repeated procedures like this, and they wind up looking kind of abnormal. So the risks of your liposuction include fat clots, blood clots, severe depletion of body fluids, pain, numbness, bruising for about 6 months, and then there's a 1% death rate. 1 in 10,000 people die from the procedure. So most patients didn't know that no special training was actually required for people to perform liposuction on them. Okay? You don't need a license. You don't need any of that. And they started using the suction fat from other areas of the body, and then they were surgically inserting it into the breast area as a form of enlargement, kind of, you know, if you didn't want to use the silicone stuff. So the medical establishment thought that that'd be a safer alternative until it was discovered the fat dissolves and it leaves calcium deposits that look like cancer on mammograms, and it resulted on several unnecessary mastectomies. Uh-oh. Well, let's look at post-11 FDA updates on your, you know, silicone devices. After the approval of your breast implants, the FDA had compiled some updates on these devices and their use. So in January 2001, the FDA Safety Communications Division on silicone implants said they may produce large cell lymphoma in women. A review showed breast implants may provide a small risk of developing cancer in the scar tissue encapsulating the implant. In August 2011, they updated from their advisory panel. They were actually complaining about not having those long-term studies yet on breast implants and voiced concern on their safety use associated with silicone implants in real-world settings. Well, you know, that's just negligent on their part to approve something before you even know they're safe. Really? And between 2011 and 2013, the FDA approved silicone implants from several manufacturers who did present safety studies. But, you know, they conducted their own studies, so there you go. And so then you say, well, I would just sue the pants off of, you know, who, if anything went wrong. Well, litigation involving cosmetic surgeons, these surgeries that go wrong, tends to be expensive and difficult. Here is a quote from David Tebeck. He's a New York attorney. He says this: pursuing courtroom justice in a cosmetic surgery case is expensive and grueling. Juries are not generally receptive to people who are not satisfied with what God gave them. Plastic surgeons stick together, and they do not testify against one another. The best you can hope for is if the malpractice insurer will settle with you out of court. Oh, boy. All right, so here's the lesson here. Always investigate, because there's over 70 self-designated boards, such as the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery. And you have to investigate carefully because boards may not be approved or recognized by ethical medical specialists. Now, I'm not advocating you go out and have plastic surgery. I'm just saying if you decide you're going to do it, you better be smart investigating it. So I once actually went with a friend. She went to a local plastic surgeon to see about removing some facial moles. So in the waiting room, you know, I'm picking up some of this literature that's on display and reading it, and I flipped it to the back. And at the bottom, it offered a number to call to see if your physician was certified. So the plastic surgeons have to have so many hours of training and experience in order to be certified. So after her appointment, I gave her the pamphlet. I said, call the number, check to see if your physician is certified. It seems he was so new to the profession, he wasn't even on their recommended list. Oh, wow. Here is a quote from Dr. Donald Langsley. He's the vice president of the American Board of Medical Specialists, and he says, any group can call themselves a board, but are they recognized by the American Board of Medical Specialties? End of quote. So I believe that plastic surgery in certain trauma and genetic cases may be very beneficial to improve a person's life. And it is the selective surgeries that give us pause. You know, we should say, be careful what we wish for. Now, you know, I grew up around elderly people in my family, and they were naturally aging adults. They had the white hair, the soft wrinkles, and they offered character to their face. And you could still recognize them, you know, and their mouths didn't look like abnormally wide, and they didn't have a look that was, you know, plastered surprise all the time. So God knows how we should look and how we should age. So working within the halls of medicine like I did, I can say, it's a meat market, and a lot of times it is. So protect yourself. And investigate all your medical procedures and your practitioners very carefully. And I also suggest if you're going to have surgery, you want to investigate your anesthesiologist as well. A lot of people forget that. So each generation, you know, they have their own way of handling things. So I hope the millennials don't wind up as selfie examples to the next generation of what not to do. So natural prevention is what I like. You know, I like the cleanse and nourish approach as a natural prevention. So getting rid of your toxicity and super infusing nutrients into your body will help regenerate and heal your system, and you'll age gracefully that way. Frank's saying a lot of these plastic surgery, you look like the Joker, you know, the Joker look, the Meg Ryan Joker look. Exactly. And Dolly Parton, the same thing. So give Apothecary Herbs a call. They have an organic whole food line of organic cleanses, immune boosters, and a lot of formulas to metabolically strengthen you and reduce a lot of toxicity and stress so your cells don't age as fast. So they specialize in aging the herb formula and cold pressing it, and this protects its potency and gives you a professional strength product. So it's not what you'll find in most stores. So give them a call, Apothecary Herbs, give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And of course, if you want to visit their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. That's right. So, you know, do yourself a favor, reduce your cellular stress, oxidative stress on your cells, and they won't age as quickly, and you'll look as youthful and for as long as naturally possible. All right, so we got a few minutes. I won't have enough time to talk about our prescription segment that I wanted to jump into, so next time we'll go with that. So now we're going to talk about how we can help prevent a lot of age-related injuries and falls. About 2 million elderly fall and suffer injury every year. Every 13 seconds, actually, some elderly person suffers a fall. Hospital stays due to falls double in length and increase the risk of premature death, because in the hospital you can pick up super bugs and some other things. Nearly 10,000 people die from their fall each year, and doctors often explain it is because as we age, we become less flexible, and our balance suffers. So we're told that we're supposed to believe that as we get older, we're going to fall because we're old. That's common, but it's not normal. So this doesn't have to happen, and it isn't really due to old age, but it can be due to a lack of mobility, some stiffness. We're not doing our due diligence to keep mobile and active, and we become less flexible. And it can impact our balance mechanism and our reflexes. So hospital stays due to falls double and increase our risk of premature death. So we're going to take a look at that. Before I forget, I want to mention Miss White, Miranda White. She does this video called Classical Stretch. And these are really geared to people in the 50s or older to keep them flexible, and it's low impact. And she talks about your balance and your reflex mechanism, especially in your feet, so you can prevent falls. So she gives you some exercises. And I would say, you know, for $50, You can get that DVD or go to one of her classes if you happen to be in Canada and learn how to be as flexible and as mobile and keep that balance up, and you'll reduce your risk of falling. Now, according to the statistics, more elderly females fall than males do. We're told that the older the female gets, her risk of suffering a fall increases. So when falls occur, over half of the patients usually have a repeat fall within about 6 months. So the age group with the most falls are those between 65 and older, and often can cause death. So 1 in 50 falls is going to produce a hip fracture, and 1 in 4 will die from the injury within about 6 months. Falls severely impact the mobility of the elderly, and they become less mobile, means they're more vulnerable to health complications. Now, I have to admit, I'm going to confess, I fell the other week. It was dumb. I used a chair when I should have used a step ladder. And, I was adjusting a picture. Anyway, it was dumb, and I fell. And I kind of hit hard on my right side. Fortunately, I just got some bruises. I didn't break anything or fracture anything. God was with me. Amen. But it can happen in a minute, and you didn't expect it. And so we got to make sure that we're doing the right thing and not, in a quick fix, using the wrong item to elevate ourselves to fix something or to get something off a shelf. We need to use the right item. So I'm an example right there. All right, so I want to talk about real quickly some of the drugs the elderly can be on that will promote falls. According to the Journal of the American Geriatric Society, there are several medications that can increase the risk of falls for the elderly. For instance, reports are suggesting that if patients are on 4 or more medicines, it increases the risk of falling. So medications for things like depression and antipsychotic medications are at the top of the list. And when the patients try to come off of these drugs, there's this reduction in falls. Also on the list are blood pressure medicines and drugs for hypertension, low blood pressure, and these can cause a bit of dizziness. Other medications that are over-the-counter drugs that can double the chance of falling are your high blood pressure medicines. Various drugs that can double the chance of a fall are going to be various cardiovascular drugs, beta blockers, diuretics, antiarrhythmia meds, anti-seizure drugs, antihistamines, insomnia medications, respiratory and bladder medications, and diabetic drugs. And I should add to that list pain medicines, because pain medicines can dull your nerve endings. And sometimes you can't feel things, and you trip and you fall. So why are these medicines promoting the falling? Well, according to the medical science, prescriptions and some of your over-the-counter meds can block brain chemical activity, the acetylcholine signals, for instance, and can cause an unwanted effect as blurred vision, increased heart rate, confusion, and even a sedation effect. So we have over 43 million Americans over 65, and in the United States Census, it's projecting 83.7 million by the year 2050. So half of them are taking drugs for bladder conditions, which can affect the nervous system, which can encourage a fall. And 20% of the elderly Americans are taking antidepressants. And that figure will jump to 40% if they are in a facility such as a hospital or nursing home. Now, about 12% of the elderly can't sleep, and so they're taking insomnia medicines. And about 18% are taking meds for respiratory conditions. And according to U.S. News, the most expensive drugs for the elderly that they're taking are metabolic disorder drugs, like for heart, drugs for your nervous system, digestive disorders, and respiratory. So, expensive drugs that can encourage a fall. But there is some good news. When elderly are more active and take calcium or eat foods with calcium and vitamin D, it seems to improve balance and muscle function and reduces the risk of falling by about 20%. Now, if you're going to get a vitamin D supplement, note that a lot of your vitamin D is synthetic, made from lanolin. This is lamb's wool. So there is a list of natural foods with high amounts of vitamin D, a lot of your fish, Your fatty fishes have vitamin D and some other things. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a list that they will send you through email or regular mail by just simply requesting it, so that you can kind of pump up the diet with these more vitamin D-rich and calcium-rich foods. Definitely going to be a plus, because when you get your nutrients in a balanced chemistry in your foods, because God is the master chemist, you have all the elements there for uptake and absorption, and so the body can do more with less. You don't need mega doses of things. So that's scientifically proven, by the way. All right, so a good prevention program is making sure you're moving, you're not sedentary. This will help you avoid falls, keep you flexible, gives you a positive attitude, promotes more of a prescription-free lifestyle as well. So in our 40s, we start to slow down. There's signs of aging. We have a reduction in some energy and some flexibility. Maybe our posture suffers a bit, you know, especially if we're hunching over a desk all day, and we get slower reflexes starting at age 40. So we also, our muscles may get tight because of this lack of stretching and exercising, and our connective tissues can get a bit rigid and stiff, and your spine can atrophy, and a whole lot more can happen. And like I said, Miranda Esmond White, that has the classical stretch DVDs, you can order them on the internet or through the phone, she'll show you how to do certain exercises to reverse atrophy of your upper spine. And you may not need to have a therapist, and all you got to do is do the exercise. So great stuff, really. It really is. It empowers you. That's what it does. So we start to become more sedentary as we get older. And then our muscles, you know, also reflect this. They become less flexible, they tighten, and even shorten because they're not being used the way they should. So we find we can't lift our arms high above our head, or we shuffle our feet. We're not walking in a steady gait anymore. And we shouldn't have to, you know, degenerate in this way if we take precautions to prevent it. So even if we lose some of these functions, we can get them back and reduce our risk of falling. So there is a way to improve our range of motion without pain and put our spring back in our step, and it does not have to involve a lot of high-impact exercise. So again, Classical Stretch by Miranda Esmond White. Investigate that. She's got several different DVDs, so you can check it out. You can ask them which one's best for you. And she's not paying me to say this. It's just that I have her DVDs, and I use them every day. I just like them. You can add them to other exercise routines, and it's just 20 minutes, so you can definitely fit it in. So you're going to be really amazed how 20 minutes of stretching exercises will impact the quality of your life. And especially the older you get, especially 50 and older, it's going to be real important. So this is also beneficial also for young people that may also have foot, hip, back, shoulder, or neck problems. My 20-something children have benefited from her exercises as well. So, you know, these kids have these heavy book bags. They're going to school. They're looking down all the time on smartphones and tablets, and it's putting a lot of stress on their neck and on their spine. So these kids can actually reverse a lot of that damage just by doing these exercises. Athletes are also using the program, and so you can use this exercise program every day. It reverses weakness, pain, especially if you've got knee pain. I had my right knee giving me a little problem going up and down stairs, and once I did the exercises Miranda had, the pain went away. So I strengthened my outside leg muscles, which tightened and strengthened those ligaments of the knee so that things didn't slip and slide around and cause a lot of discomfort. So you know, if you've been in car accidents and you've seen a chiropractor, I think classical stretch may be a plus, you know, to your already, or the care you're already getting. So everyone should really keep in mind that one prescription medicine will cause 100 chemical changes in your metabolism. Two medications cause 100 times 100 chemical changes. In scientific medicine, your doctor and pharmacist, they don't know what those changes are going to be. So the drugs often leave the patients with a rebound effect that's worse than when they started, especially if you're on things like sleep aids or antidepressants. Now, it's far less dangerous to change your lifestyle and tap into a lot of medicinal power in your foods and herbs. For instance, instead of bladder drugs for urgency and incontinence, you can use some herbs to cleanse the kidneys, the bladder, the urethra, strengthen the bladder wall, and calm those nerve endings down, and you won't have that frequency. So instead of sleep and antidepressant drugs, you can use some plants that are packed full of nutrition to help the brain get natural sleep, feed your nervous system so that you can cope better with stress. A lot of the elderly are very anxious and upset, and I don't blame them. Stop watching the news is what I say. In many instances, illnesses are really caused by a buildup of toxins and stress on the body, oxidative stress on the cells, and you can lift all that stress from the cells and the body with some gentle yet effective cleanses, all by apothecary herbs. And the formulas have over 60 years of testing by Dr. John Christopher, who had a clinic for over 60 years. And then when he retired, he taught all his students how to do it, and I'm one of his students. So these aren't just whimsy things we pull out of the air. These actually have some, historical data to them, empirical history, actually. So if you would like to check out the Kidney Bladder Cleanse Kit, the Emotional Stress Formula, the Relaxation Formula, and some other things there at thepowerherbs.com, or if you don't do the internet, you can certainly call the toll-free number, which is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. You can call the folks at Apothecary Herbs and ask for their free product catalog, and it'll be mailed to you. And that number to call is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And, of course, if you do want to do the internet, the web address is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. And that's where your healthcare options really just became endless, because it's all about putting the power back in your hands, because you're being the responsible one. You're taking the responsibility back. You're not turning it over to the white coats, because all they have is symptom management, basically. So that's what they have. All right, so check it out. If you are on the website, if you do the internet, and you want to receive some empowering health news each and every week, I encourage you to click on the Books and Newsletters tab, and you can sign up for free for the newsletters. They go out each week. The American Survival goes out on Tuesday, and the Health Quest goes out on Friday. So if you want to get tomorrow's Health Quest newsletter delivered to your email, just sign up there on the website. And you can unsubscribe anytime. This is an opt-in list. We do not share your information. And you can get empowered and share that information with family and friends. You know, pass along the empowerment. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And one thing that I noticed is working in the medical area and then working with herbs. Herbs are pretty much the world's best kept secret. And we are so lucky in the United States to have them. European Union countries want to have our stuff, and they're prohibited from importing that. So they've lost over 2,000, I think it's 2,500 different herbs due to European Union regulations. So people in Canada can import. They can certainly get them from America if they need to. They don't have what you have here in America, so they're having to import it. So you Americans are so blessed here in this country. And don't forget to thank God each and every day. Give him all the credit and all the support and all the thanks for his medicinal herbs, because he says from Genesis to Revelation, herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. So put your trust in that, and he will bless you. I'm just about out of time. I hope you have a blessed weekend. But the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well. ¶¶